You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the book of Daniel and chapter 4. We are in a study of the Gospel of John, chapter 15 and verse 5. Don't turn there. And we're looking at this point, you have to abide. The branch has to abide in the vine, or else there's no fruit. And without me, our Lord said, you can do how much? Nothing. Nothing means nothing. Now, so, getting back to that and using a different window in the light of, we have touched on a number of things in the light of the last week or two, in the light of the changing year, etc. Now, so here in Daniel chapter 4, we are looking at here's the beginnings of the times of the Gentiles. Up to this point, up to Israel became a nation, in Exodus, crossing the Jordan, crossing the into the Sinai. Israel was the top nation of all the nations of the world. Israel was the example for all nations to realize and understand God the Creator, God the Savior. All nations were to realize that by way of Israel. Israel captivity, Assyrian captivity, Babylonian captivity, Israel scattered, no more. Jerusalem in ruins, the temple, etc. Now, so the times of the Gentiles begin. And in Nebuchadnezzar, Babylon, Media Persia, Greece, Rome, etc., the United States of Europe, the European community outworking itself, were there. Now, having said that, God set the example for all the nations in this movement when Israel is put aside and the nations. So the nations have given an example. Nebuchadnezzar is the example. He is the most powerful man of all the systems. He answers to nobody, and he is a very powerful, productive king. In the process, chapter 4, verse 17, God, in the outworking of all the times of the Gentiles, verse 4, 17. This matter, by the decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent, to the purpose, that the living, that's us, may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basest of men, the lowest. So God, here's all the outworking of history with all us humans, and you let it be known that each nation that rises up in the light of Babylon, Genesis 11, and all of the nations, Genesis 10 thereafter. Now, so here's all the nations, and God, you're helping them understand what? There's no nation that's going to last, going to succeed, and going to provide for all of the wonderful benefits that God has in mind. None of that's going to happen apart from God. Therefore, Nebuchadnezzar, in chapter 4, and you'll recall, Nebuchadnezzar was very, very caught up, understandably, in his power, in his ability, in his prosperity. It was overwhelming. Therefore, his thinking, chapter 4, verse 26, All this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. At the end, verse 29, at the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? So Nebuchadnezzar is all caught up in the wonderment of what he has, how he has it, why he has it, and everyone is acknowledging. Would have to be hanging gardens of Babylon, etc. You have to, wow. Now, God, he's the example that's going to set the pace. So God, what are you going to do? Well, you know what happened in God, in kind of his pride. Kind of his pride, verse 25. I'm going to have to read verse 24. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my Lord the King. And they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. And they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, just outside all the time. And seven times, that's 7 years, shall pass over thee, until thou know the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. Now, and therefore, verse 26, and whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure of thee. In other words, I'm not going to stop. I'm just going to do something wonderful to help everybody. After that, thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. Now, God, what do you say? You're going to take Nebuchadnezzar, and you're going to take him from his throne, from all of his wealth and grandeur and greatness, and you're going to send him out into the field. You're going to send him out into the field as an animal. He's going to live as an animal. He's going to live as an animal for 7 years. You'd think he'd wake up before that. But God said, no, it's 7 years. It's going to take 7 years before Nebuchadnezzar will honor God. 7 years. Now, in the light of that, so here's Nebuchadnezzar out in the field, and everyone, the king, where's the king? He's out in the field, looks like whatever. Who knows at that point? Wow. Eating the grass, scavenging, whatever, just to survive. Wow. Now, God, you're going to do that for 7 years. And I'm going to do that, and he'll wake up. Now, when he wakes up, and he will, now, God, what are you going to turn? No one is any power. Adolf Hitler, Benito Mussolini, Hirohito, you line them all up. No one is in power except God allow it. God allows the power. He allows it in the outworking. So there's no one up anywhere that God isn't allowing. Hang on to that. Now, and Nebuchadnezzar, you have to understand that you are given that privileged starting point, times of the Gentiles, Babylon. You're given that privilege. You're approaching it wrong. You're supposed to be honoring me. Now, so therefore, he does, and he goes through all the 7 years, and God is going to deal with him. So for time's sake, because we're after something else, may I go, picking up, please, in verse 33. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven outside all the time, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. At the end of these days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes, his testimony, unto heaven, and my understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him and that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. Now, you got it clear, Nebuchadnezzar, I do. Verse 35. And all the inhabitants of the earth, all of them, are reputed as nothing. He doeth according as his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. None can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? At that time my reason returned unto me. And for the, that's what you said. You were there looking, you look like a, who knows what you're looking for, your claws and everything. And God, what did you say, Nebuchadnezzar? I said, God, you're something else. That's what he said. You have to appreciate that. Anyone else listening? Nope, God is. God's looking at that rascal. There he is. Wow. God said, that's what I'm waiting for, Nebuchadnezzar. And thus, verse 36. At the same time, my reason returned unto me, and the glory of my kingdom, and my honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors, everyone returned, and my lord sought me out, and I was established in my kingdom, and the excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, verse 37, I now praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride, he is able to abase and humble, as I am an example. So Nebuchadnezzar, you're setting the pace. So God, here we are humans on planet Earth, and we have all kinds of things, time, the gift of time, and everything else. We have it. And you make it happen. The weather, the plants, the birds, the beasts, the food, everything. You make it happen. Now God, but the world isn't very appreciative. No, they aren't. Now, so God raised up Israel before this. Israel was to be an example, which they weren't. That's why Nebuchadnezzar comes in. But go back to Israel, backwards in time, over, if you would please, to Deuteronomy. And I want to add that part of it, if I can. Deuteronomy in chapter 8. So Nebuchadnezzar is going to help us understand everything everyone has is from God. God is the source of all, and he oversees all. Now, in Deuteronomy chapter 8, we're going backwards in time to Israel. And Israel is given a wonderful privilege, taken from Egypt, across the Red Sea, 4.5 miles or so, across the Red Sea, and into the Sinai, into the land. And in doing so, into the wilderness, etc. And God, you're going to take him across the Jordan. And you're going to do what? I'm going to show the nations, Nebuchadnezzar didn't catch the message, to show the nations in verse 9. Show them my wonderful provision. So here's Israel. Here's an example, verse 9. A land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass or bronze, to dig it out. Now, in the process, to dig all of that out, in other words, whatever you need, you're going to have. That's all. I guarantee it. Now, chapter 8, turn the page. What is Israel's problem going to be? Chapter 8, verse 17. After God doing everything, 17, thou shalt say in thine heart, verse 17, my power, the word power, strength, ability, if you would, my power and the might of my hand hath got me this wealth. Now, who picked that message up? Well, that was Nebuchadnezzar, but back in history, verse 18, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power, there's the same word, power, might, ability, strength, to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. But the trouble is, you're going to forget God. God's the brought you across into the Jordan, into the land of Palestine. Everything is there. God guarantees it. Awesome, to be an example to all of the nations of the world, which they weren't, which is why Nebuchadnezzar could level the city and the temple. They weren't a testimony, but they were to be a wonderful testimony. They weren't to go. They weren't to go and move Jerusalem to Rome. They weren't to move Jerusalem to London. They weren't to go and put the temple in New York City. No, it's in Jerusalem. They're never sent anywhere. They were gathered as a nation to be a light, like a light in the dark, and all in the very center of planet Earth, as it were, if you laid it out flat. Wow, a testimony. That's what they'd be there now for that. Now hang on to that. Now, with that little bit in mind, we're ready over to the Gospel of Luke. And in the Gospel of Luke, you would recall, God is going to go and illustrate his wonderful, wonderful plan for humans in his saving grace in the person of Jesus Christ. And in the doing so, the repentance, they're going to have to change from unbelief to belief, from having no faith to believe God and trust him. And in the process, that's repentance. And repentance is an awesome, wonderful thing. And God wants the world to understand, Gospel of Luke, and that's we're reading it, to understand the awesomeness. Repentance is to be enforced and enlarged. And that's what he does in Luke 15. He expands it so you can see. I want you to see the benefit that I have in mind. Israel, nope, they threw it away. They forgot God. Nebuchadnezzar had it, but then Media Persia came along, etc., and it got lost. Now, so here we are looking. Now, in the Gospel of Luke, you need to refresh your mind in the last couple of weeks or so here that God made you, if you're a believer, a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17, a new creation. You're neither Jew nor Gentile. You're neither male nor female. God made you a whole new creation. How so? You are his body. He's the head, and God has given you the awesome to display his grace, the awesomeness of showing his wonderful person in an awesome way. New creatures. Do you understand that you're new? Do people understand they're new? Like we did in Sunday school. Do you understand you're a son? Reckon you're a son. Now, God, here we are looking. And you're going to make us new creatures. And we share together, among other things. We share together in Romans 8 and 32 and all of that. That Christ gives us, God gives us his Son. He's the head of the body. And with that comes everything that he has. We're heirs, joint heirs. We're sons. All of it. He has it, all things, and we shared that awesome. People say it can't be true, but it is. I've given you everything that belongs to my son. I've given it to you. And we shared together so you don't go off the wall and say, well, I got it. No, you know got it. He has it. It's Christ in you that has everything. It's Christ in you that you ask anything in my name, I'll what? I'll do it. And we shared over and over again to make you get all upset. All things, all things, all things, all things, all things, all things. God, why can't you just say some things? No, he said all things. Because you do have them. And when you go into the house, just think of, well, I'm going to do that in a sec. When you go into the house, you have all the benefits. That's what I'm trying to get you to see. God, Israel was to be an example of it. They failed. Nebuchadnezzar was to set the pace for the nations to understand that God was in charge. He was King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he's in charge. And there's no one going to rise up unless he allows it, for his good reason, for his honor and glory. No one's going to rise up. And now God, and now you're telling us that Israel ended up crucifying Christ. Rome was part of it. Rome, the Gentile world, the Jewish world crucified Christ at the time. They did that. Now, God, what are you going to do? Is anyone paying attention? Yes, I'm going to demonstrate by way of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to demonstrate in a unique relationship of whosoever's that believe. They're going to be part of my wonderful person. They're going to show my wonderful life. They're going to show their wonderful relationship to me on planet Earth. That's what they're going to do. And then I'm going to take them home. But I want to demonstrate something to them. Before, in a day of grace, grace is followed by wrath, tribulation tonight, tribulation, wow. Now God, so here we are. So here we are in Luke chapter 15, illustration. God is trying to help us understand his wonderful, wonderful provision in an awesome, awesome way. And he does it. He's the shepherd. He's the good shepherd of the sheep. He cares about one sheep, one coin, one sinner. Yeah. 7 billion of us. Just one. Now hang on. Just one. And here's, I'm just a little guy, a little boy. It's just me. But God, you are very, very conscious of that little boy, that little girl, very much so, of us little girls and boys. Wow. Now, therefore, you're going to give the illustration, which you do, of the father that had two sons. And that's what I try to do. Verse 12. Verse 11, and he said, a certain man had two sons, 15:12. And the younger of them said, to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. He divided unto them his living. So here they are. You want your portion, you know. Without doing all of it, can't do all. God has a wonderful plan. Before you were ever born, before you were ever created, God had a wonderful plan for your life. That's a starting point. You haven't even been born. There's not even angels around. And God has a wonderful plan. And Christ died on the cross, the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. All done. That's why you and I are created. God created us and sinned, born in sin. Adam sinned, we all sin in Adam. And in the process, you did that because you already paid the price for our birth, our sin. You're our Savior. And all we had to do, be born on planet Earth, physical birth, so that we can enjoy spiritual birth. That's what we're here for, to know you. Now, in chapter 15, here's the father, and he has two sons, and he has a portion. Everyone has their portion, and they can exercise their portion. In God's wonderful plan and purpose, he wants them saved. He wants them to be able to have all of the benefits of his wonderful person and the privileges of being on planet Earth, the privileges of belonging to God's timeless eternity, to be able to have the enjoyment of God. Israel flunked. Nebuchadnezzar caught it, but only as a Gentile nation. So here we are, and they crucified Christ. So here we are, examples. And Luke was given by our Lord to remind us that here goes, the portions are out, and one of the sons, verse 13, Not many days after, everyone saw, they understood, we're grown up, I can be able to buy my car, I'm able to have a job, I'm able to go to school, I'm going to fit into society. Whether it's in the old days, in the days of Nebuchadnezzar, or now, I want to fit into society. And that's what we want, we're there. And we're able to. We breathe what we are able to fit in our industrial society in some form, and we're able to have pizza and whatever, and we can do it. We want to fit in. It's our portion. But you know what? That portion is going to be outworked in the light of God. Am I going to have God in the middle of this outworking? Because that's what God had in mind. And when I leave God out, all of that outworking, pizza and everything, when all of that outworking is there, I don't have God. And it's all taking place without you. That's the world system. Now, what's the illustration you're going to give us, God? In the Father's house where the two sons were, verse 13, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. He squandered it. He, understand, now we're going to have to use your imagination if you can quickly. Here you are in this wonderful, wonderful oasis, castle, grounds. Wow. Everything is there. There's nothing missing. And you look out and people come in and out and around, and they tell you about what they can do and what they have and how they do it. And you look and you look at your house. And you look at everything you have, the clean table and napkins and silverware and everything. Wow! But they don't seem to even, they don't know about that. All they know about is what they have. And you sort of get sort of envious a little bit. Just like, how did Eve get enticed? If you take of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, if you do that, you'll know. Like God. Ah, she was enticed. What's enticing the son? What enticed Nebuchadnezzar? Everything he had. What entices humans? The attraction of being alive and being able to eat and drink and come and go and have and be and do. Wow. And that attracts us. Without God. We don't need God for that. You don't need God for pizza. Nope, you don't need God for marriage. You don't need God for anything in that sense. You just do what you do. Now, so having said that, here we are looking, and the sun goes out, and he wastes everything. In the light of it, does the world appreciate God and God's goodness? And God's grace, and God's greatness, and all of his love? Do they appreciate his death on the cross? Does the world? So when I go out into the world has no interest in my Father's house. They have no interest in my Father's business, Luke chapter 2. They have no interest whatsoever. They don't care about God or anything. They're doing what they do. Like in Matthew chapter 6, remember we read that last time in that. The world's busy trying to survive and succeed, to have food, clothing, everything. They want to survive without God. But believers, they belong in the Father's house. Now, what's the son want to do? He's looking out there, and out he goes. Out he goes to squander, and he ends up squandering it. Why? Because all of the benefits that he grew had as a son aren't found out there. They don't care about he's a son. And so all the things that he normally took for granted aren't even found. And he ends up having to do and be, and the world doesn't care about you. You're a number. You're a number. Remember, it used to be years ago, you weren't a number. You were an employee. Do you remember that? Years ago when you, well, long time ago. People worked for companies. They were employees. They were part of the company. They were real people. And the company was, that's how you lived. That's how it was. Now you're numbers. You don't even need a person. You just need a smartphone to find them. See number 306. Wow. So here we are, God. The world doesn't care about a son. So here he is out there in the world, and he's trying to survive. You have to be as ornery and as bad as the world. That's what you want to, you compete. You want to compete, be envious and steal and cheat and lie, and just like it in our society. Do whatever you have to do to survive. Be king of the mountain. Whatever. Well, the world doesn't care that they're going to step on anybody in any way, in their way. And politics is awesome, to say the least, like that. Now, so here's the son, and he goes and squanders it all. A, he thought he could be in the world as a son and have his cake and eat it. And you can't do that. You can't do that. And when he went out into the world, he lost. What's the sense of being forgiven, blessed of God, and having everything, and go out there, and you can't take any of this with you? Nope, nope. You have to leave it. And out you go, out there to make it, make it. And that's what the son is discovering, that he is bankrupt. And he wasted it. And no one cares about him being replenished or anything. So therefore, verse 14. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And when the world's in trouble, and it is, that's what I told you, not a forecast, but you know it's going to happen. Revelation 6 and that, famine, all that stuff, peace, the need for peace, need for everything. You're going to have to go what? You're going to have a lot of stuff going on, and the world's, we're there, but boy, there's no peace, no security in here, in the heart. You aren't sure about anything. You're just sure about this. Who knows what Iran, Iraq, and China, and anyone else is going to do? Wow, Russia. Who knows what they're going to do? Venezuela, wow. Cuba, wow. Here they are. So God, but we're comfortable. We're comfortable. The football game, pizza, whatever. I mean, life's little circle, but it isn't. Around it, it's horrible. But we think we can live in it. And that's what the son is discovering. It just isn't working. It isn't working. You can't have the benefits out there that God has given in the house. Therefore, sliding over where I can. And therefore, verse 14, he began to be in want. And, verse 15, he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields. In other words, he got a job. He didn't need a job because he had enough to start with without a job. But then he wasted all of that. He got a job, and he sent him into his field to feed swine, pigs. Now, think of a Jew feeding pigs. About the illustration. So here he is, he's feeding the pigs, and the pigs are there. And now you think he must get enough pay, but no. Minimum wage, 16. And he would fain would have filled his belly with the husk, the carob seed pods. He would have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. So here he is feeding the swine. He's hungry. He's not being cared for. He's there and not good. And in the process, he's hungry and everything. And he looks at the pigs. Just think of the pigs there. Here's the pigs with all the pods and the food. And they're all down. Where are the pigs' heads? The pigs' heads aren't looking up at the sky. The pigs' heads are down into the, looking at the, eating the food. That's what the pigs are doing. The pigs are down eating the food. And he looks at them. And he wishes he could put his head down there and have some of that. But he can't even have that. They won't even give him that. Now, that's the world. We want to go in the world, and if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you, etc., etc. Now, you want to be able to understand what? God, you said you would take care of us, humans, as we trust you with all our heart and look to you. And you've done something wonderful in this day of grace and placed us in your wonderful person body. And you've made it so that what? We could enjoy a unique relationship to you. In the body, we're bought with a price. Father, you're the boss, and you're the one, and you help us from the day we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ till the day we go to be with you. The Spirit of God's awesome ministry and our reaction, Romans 8, Galatians 4, Abba, Father, over and over, what are we to understand? Father. We're to understand you're the Father, the giver of life. You're the Father. And we are your children, sons. Now, where do we enjoy the benefits of the Father? In the person of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to enjoy the benefits of the Father. Now, if God, in the Father's house, are there any lacks? No. God, do you take care? We just did all this. God, do you take care of our needs? I do. What about this and that? We need more of this and another job in that house and coming and going and everything we do. But God, it isn't about that. No. No, it's about you enjoying a relationship to who I am. I am waiting. John 14, 1, 2, 3. I am waiting for you to be in my house. My Father's house. John 14, 3. In my Father's house. You're waiting for that. That's right. But in meanwhile, John 14, 23. I and my Father are going to find our home in your heart. I and my Father are going to find our home in your heart. And you are to enjoy a magnificent, mercy-filled relationship to who I am. And I will take care of your need. It doesn't mean you have everything. There's nothing missing ever for you. You will only know it and discover it as you keep me in the center. Don't lose me. I don't want to go. I want to sit at the Father's table. Now, do you know we can't even do it? Just let me slide. Do you know what the other son? The first son's going to go back. I'm just trying to give you the mood of it anyway, movement. Chapter 15, verse 18. I'm going to rise and go to my Father's house, Father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. That's what Nebuchadnezzar did. And I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants, slaves. Make me that. I'm happy. Just a slave is better off in your house than a son. Than a slave is better off than being in the world. Wow. So that's what he wants. He's willing for that. He's humble for that. God, do you mean you're going to take care of us like that? I do. But you're going to have to put me in the first place. Now, the other son, remember now, I have to pick it up tonight a little bit differently, but pick it up. Verse 28, and he was angry, the other son was. Remember now, because the father did everything for the son. We're going to look at that. God, did you take care of it. What did the son that came back discover? That the father loved him. The father would take care of him. If anyone knew the need, he did. So you don't cheat, you don't squander, you don't play around with it. You understand? God cares. He's the shepherd. And God does what he has to do. And God sometimes lets you go down and fall down and break your neck. Sometime you have to go without. Sometime you have too much. God does it to what? Teach us. We shared all those things. So that we what? Learn. Little kid grows up, learns how to spend a nickel before he gets $10. He has $100 in the house, but he can't have it yet. He has to grow up and understand. And God provides in his most wonderful way for the believer to be everything, have everything, do everything that God wants. Not do what I want, do what God wants. And God, you're going to make it possible that all things that you have in mind will take place. Absolutely. Absolutely. And the son was all angry. But he was a son. He was in the house. What was the problem? He could sit at the table. He could have 7 helpings. He could have the cook make a special meal. He had everything. Every day. He didn't appreciate. He didn't understand what the Father had everything. In the Father's house, the Son has everything. You have to. Christ is the head. He is the all things. And the body has to reflect all things that God is. And that we have it. So God, you have to help us work it out. Not our plans. Not what we're trying to do. No, God, we want local assembly. We want God's will outworked. Isn't it? That's what you want. And God's going to do it. But look at this and look at that. No, don't forget that. Just why don't you hang? Look at God. Stop, have a commitment. God, here I am. And you're going to outwork it, thick or thin. We've shared it with some of you. You said it. What happens? You said you hang in there. You cannot be disappointed. If you understand you're part of the body and you belong to the body and you're going to honor God, who's your Lord and Savior, you cannot be disappointed. You will not be ashamed. I guarantee it. No one does it. People do what they do. And they'll never find it out because there's no commitment. There has to be a commitment. God, thick or thin, live or die. Think of Romans 14, wonderful. Whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. Wow. God. We're just us. God is the Father. Father. Do you know what Father? Father's the top. Father's the top. He's where everything comes from. The Father. Out from the Father came the Son. Came the sons. We belong to the Father. We belong to the family. And God, you'll never disappoint. Do you know, in my little bit, I think not many people hang in there to discover it. But it's real. And I'm going to give you a great threat. For in my little life, he's never missed. And I've been all through kinds of things. You bet your boots. And God has never missed. That's my personal testimony. He's never missed. And I've got a long time with him. He never misses. That's what I'm trying to tell you. He won't disappoint you. But you've got to honor him. And you say, well, no one else cares, and no one else even knows what you're talking about. What a stupid conversation. You see, sure, I understand that. Because to the world system, there is no God like that. Lots of religion, but no God like that. No, no, no God like that. Awesome God. That's what I got to tell you. I didn't do very much. I didn't even get, I'm sorry. I don't know what happened. All I'm trying to get you to see is, without me, John 15:5, you can do nothing. But with me, there's nothing that won't happen in the outworking of my will for your life. Everything will take place. Why? For my glory and honor. I planned it before you were ever created. Wow. Our Father and God, we look to you to deal with our heads and our hearts. And God, we didn't get very far. But God, here we are. So deal with us. We don't want to be as the older son. He had everything. He just didn't enjoy it because he lost the love relationship. He lost the fact that, Father, you loved him. That, Father, you love us. And we don't want to lose that. It isn't about having anything or doing anything or being anything. It's about a wonderful relationship just to you. That you love us with yourself. You are love. It's all about letting you be to us all that you are, so that we, letting you be to us all that we are, have all things, so that we, in your grace, can outwork and have, in the thick and thin of it, a wonderful, wonderful movement in the world, for the world to see, God, you can't, to try to be without you is no good, and nothing's going to happen. So God, honor yourself in this. It's, wow. Thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen.